Everything the Border. Lou and Matt on the Borders 105.7 Triple M.
Welcome to our Monday catch-up podcast. In real time, we're still waiting to find out if regional Victoria goes to step three of the COVID roadmap normal thing that they've got. Give me the map, Lou. Where's the map?
Hang on, where is the map? You folded it up and turned it upside down.
I've got it. So when you might be listening to this later on today or whenever.
The map has been whipped out and hopefully Daniel Andrews has told us that we're heading right towards step three, or we're in step three, or I don't know what. Wednesday.
There's too many bloody steps and too many bloody stages, Lou, and that's the problem with this whole stupid thing.
He said the middle of the week, and I'm just sticking with that.
Because we're in step two at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked to Justin Clancy, the member for Albury. Why are we talking to a New South Wales poly, you're asking? Well, because if it does get to step three in regional Victoria, it means that maybe they'll whack on the daily life part on the permit.
So the border crossing permit.
And that'll make things much less confusing. So you'll hear his response to that in our catch-up podcast.
Then you won't have to be asking yourself, my kid needs new shoes, but I can't get them in Wodonga and I have to go to Albury. Is that essential?
Bingo. Exactly. Exactly. We also talked to Tim Farrer, who's the regional manager of the Australian Industry Group, about some much-needed funds from the Victorian government going to assist businesses in northeast Victoria and regional Victoria generally. Is it going to be enough? Up to $25,000 per business, up to. And you'll find out what Tim Farrer's response was and just the feeling generally of business in Victoria.
But you, Matt, have been living the life of a Northside border resident and just zooming around the country. Mulwala was on the list today.
Yeah, it was, and you're going to hear that in a tick too. Let's not forget Adam Shand, Lou.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Australian Crime Stories, great TV show, and he just has the most incredible stories to tell. And it's like a step-by-step unpeeling of how it all happens.
Yeah, that's right. It's bloody good, isn't it? And he's really a podcaster as well. He fills in for Luke Boner sometimes. He's a very, very interesting man when it comes to crime. Not sure he'd be the kind of guest you'd want to bring to a fun party. I don't know. Would you?
I don't know.
Oh, should we invite Adam Shand again?
He has some pretty interesting stories to tell.
Would.
I think he'd be very engaging.
Yeah, you're right.
He'd be
good at
a very engaging dinner party guest.
It'd be good if you had to bring out the board games and you brought out like Cluedo or whatever, wouldn't it?
I was just going to say he'd be fantastic, in the parlour with Professor Plum.
Yeah. I want Adam on my team. Yeah, exactly. That's coming up. You're going to catch it. But yes, as you said, Lou, I have done a little bit of COVID-safe travelling for the first time over the weekend. Have a listen.
So it was a beautiful weekend, well, apart from yesterday when it rained, but what did you get up to on the weekend?
Yesterday was shit house, but...
but it got better in the afternoon.
Yeah, it did. It was quite a nice afternoon, but I was too late by then, Lou. But Saturday, I took advantage of the Saturday weather, which was an absolute cracker, by going on a responsible road trip.
Oh.
See, there's a lot of confusion out there about what you can and can't do. So we drove to Melbourne.
He's joking.
We went to, because you can, there's never been a travel ban in New South Wales. And in fact, if you go to New South Wales.
You live in the high life in New South Wales, seriously.
.gov.au. Is local and regional travel allowed for holidays and recreation in New South Wales during COVID-19? Yes. You can travel to regional New South Wales for holiday purposes. So we took a day trip to Mulwala. Didn't go to Yarrawonga. That's out of bounds.
You would have needed a border permit, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I didn't want to wear a mask and walk around Yarrawonga. So went maskless in Mulwala.
Wow.
Went to the surf club and... I was even slightly nervous going to the surf club because I thought they'd look at me like I was, oh, you're from Albury, oh. But they were more than happy to have us because not only are they nice people up at Mulwala, but they said they need as much business as they possibly can get. It was pretty dead in there, to be honest. Had a lovely lunch.
Well, because people are confused. You said it. People are confused about whether they're actually allowed to travel there.
Yeah.
Like, travel anywhere.
I'll tell you who looked confused. The seagulls and the pelicans, because they were probably going, hang on a minute, there's meant to be more people
here. Were they skinny?
Nah, they look fine.
Yeah, surprising, really.
They looked all right. But yeah, there's the easy life up there if you're a seagull and my whaler. But yeah, it was delightful. It was really nice about it. It was dead. It really was. So again, man, they're going to need all of our regional towns and centres when we can and when it's allowed to, not only New South Wales but Victoria. They need all the money that they can get when we can get out and about. And
It's certainly it's like the message that we were talking about earlier in the year after the bushfires.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's even more so now.
Yeah,
isn't it? Really
totally.
Is for all the regional areas.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget, I mean, hospitality businesses in Victoria can't even open yet. I mean,
yeah. Hopefully this week
should be. That's what they were saying. They're going to jump two steps. So they've already gotten to step two, but they were saying that if by midweek there aren't any more community transmissions, it could go to stage three. We'll talk about
that. It's amazing, isn't it, how that changed in a couple of days. It was impossible. We couldn't be moving forward,
I know,
according to Daniel Andrews. And then just miraculously a couple of days later, was all good. The word backlash comes to mind, but I don't know. Am I being cynical?
We'll leave it there, Lou. It's Triple M.
Sometimes in life, the gods smile upon you, my friends.
You got that right.
My gingling!
TV Talk with Steve Moak.
Now, Lou, it's an exciting crime-based show today for us because talking to Adam Shand, who's got Australian Crime Stories. He's an investigative crime reporter. We're talking to him just after 7:30. But Steve Moak, there's some very good crime shows that are available for people to watch, including one starring Doctor Who.
Yes.
Hello, Steve.
Mac and Morning Lou. David Tennant is starring as Des Nielsen, the UK serial killer. Look, that across a time of about 5 or 6 years, he managed to sadly murder about 6 or 8 people.
Wow.
And, yeah, look, phenomenal story. This is a 3-episode special that runs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and this week. It is expected to do huge business because we're essentially running it in parallel with the UK. So this is going to be, an event TV situation there and one for us here.
Yeah, fact.
Would it be right to say that, I mean, you love true crime, you said to me, Lou, but true crime seems to be the most popular genre pretty much at the moment.
Oh, we've certainly landed there pretty hard, and that's shaped the way that we look at, television shows and movies and those sorts of things. Books, of course, podcasts by the
thousands.
Yes, yeah.
And as much as anything, you have to put it down to years and years and years of TV police procedurals that, allow us all to become amateur detectives and sleuths.
It's true. I've been watching CSI for years. Alrighty, let's talk about the amazing run of Kathy Freeman at the 2000 Olympics.
Should we actually listen to Bruce?
Yeah, let's have a listen to the call because it gives you shivers.
Kathy lifting, goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance. What a legend.
I mean, the hopes of the country were on Kathy Freeman's shoulders that day, without a doubt. What was Freeman like? It was on last night.
Yeah, look, a phenomenal hour documentary, remembering that incredible race, almost 20 years to the day, at the Sydney 2000 Olympics. A great conversation. We got to hear from Kathy Freeman, her thoughts in the build-up, and not just like in the build-up to that event, but, sort of the 5 to 8 years preceding it, and her rivalry with Mary Jo Perrek, who had been the number one in 400 metres women's racing, up until that point, when Kathy beat the World Championships and all sorts of things. It is amazing. We got to hear lots of people, sports journalists and others, reflect on what it meant to them. And, of course, a whole bunch of Indigenous people talk about what it meant to see an Indigenous woman stand having won a gold medal at the Olympics at home. It's phenomenal. No. Just as an aside, though, they do show the race and you hear Bruce McAvaney's call like we heard then. And it's spine-chilling, just incredible to hear.
It gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Like the whole thing again, because I think all of Australia was watching on that day in 2000 when she won. I mean, we were just all so excited for it to happen.
Yes, the ratings were through the roof for Seven. But just imagine, like, Bruce is sort of declaring she's won the race sort of 10 metres out, and she was well ahead of second and third place. Imagine if she tripped over.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know.
All right, now, for back in the day, of course, if you missed it, people would be listening and going, but hang on, I missed it. Bugger, I can't watch it. But, of course, it's going to be on iView. Will it be on iView from today?
Absolutely. You can watch it on ABC iView. It's a really easy hour to watch. And a phenomenal tale, well told, and intercut with sort of a performance from the Bangarra Dance Theatre, sort of, you know, mimicking and showing Kathy in that kind of situation. It's really great.
All right, awesome. Brilliant. ABC iView. Steve Malk, tvblackbox.com.au is where you can find all the information on Aussie TV. We will catch you, and international. We'll catch you again next week.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Lou, hand me over the map.
Hang on, I'll just...
Turn it around.
I just need to get it right. There you go.
Oh, man, you had it around the wrong way for a start. Women navigators, am I right?
I'm a terrible map turner.
Got the roadmap for COVID normality here, Lou. This is the official Victorian one. So let me lay it down here and let's go through what we're up to. So Sunday night, we move to step two in regional Victoria. Now, what does step two mean? We'll go past Metro Melbourne. They've got their own problems. Regional Victoria. All right, here we go. So this step means that you can shop for food and necessary goods. And so it's basically the same, actually. There continues to be only the four reasons that you can leave home.
Yes.
You know, so that stays the same. However, there will be fewer restrictions on these activities, such as limits on travel and time spent. What else does it say? Public gatherings. Up to five people. Lou, from a maximum of two households can meet outdoors for social interaction.
Right.
By limiting it to two households, we're limiting the potential spread of the virus. People living alone or single parents can nominate one person with whom they can form a social bubble. Thank God the word bubble still used, Lou. Yeah. It's so useful. Single social bubble, they call it. And blah, 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 single parents with dependents who cannot be left alone will be allowed to include their dependents in the bubble. Professional respite care for people with complex needs is allowed. Schools are still closed, but stage return to on-site learning for all regional students in term for... Oh, no, that's the third step. All right, thinking of the third step, Lou, we're in the second step now, right? So it's not that much of a change, but... Premier Daniel Andrews said, we are potentially just days away from jumping... right over to step three.
Yes.
What would that mean?
Yes, so step three, no restrictions on the reasons for leaving home or distances travelled.
Whoa.
Although you won't be able to travel into areas with higher restrictions, obviously.
Don't go to Melbourne.
So you can't go to Melbourne. Activities still outdoors. There'll be some limits to the number of people you can meet up with still. A household bubble will be introduced to allow for more social visits within the home. But this will also have some limits on your numbers.
Yep.
Outdoor activities are going to open up more quickly than indoor activities. Basically, I'm just saying if they're outdoor sport and recreation will be allowed. Ceremonies.
Pretty
like there's a lot of things changing, and there's talk about kids going back to school in term four.
Actually, that's in step two, they're saying. That there's a stage return to on-site learning for all regional students in term four. So even if it didn't move to step three, even in this step right now, potentially term four, kids will be going back to school, which is that a positive?
Oh, that is such a positive. Like, I'm pretty lucky because my kid's pretty independent, but people that have got younger kids, it's a big ask, and they're trying to work from home.
So there's the roadmap. Is it confusing? Yes, it is.
Yes, is it
annoying? Yes, it is.
Is it stages? Is it steps?
Oh.
Well, we're talking steps now.
Yeah.
So one step at a time, maybe two for us this week.
But it is exciting, in all seriousness, it is exciting that potentially it would go to step three by midweek. We've got to keep our fingers crossed because that means so much to so many local businesses, hospitality especially, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fingers crossed that happens. It's just got to basically continue to have the few cases in regional Victoria, which I'm sure it will over the next few days. Good luck.
Now, the Premier gave us some good news for struggling northeast businesses. A $3 billion business relief package, which includes $25,000 lifeline as part of the biggest support package for northeast businesses. So they're focusing on hospitality businesses the most. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Tim Farrow is the regional manager of the Australian Industry Group, and he joins us. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Lou.
So, Tim, how important and worthwhile is this $25,000 cash injection? Will it really help?
Well, look, Matt, it's up to 25K. There's $1.1 billion in grants for SMEs, which most of those businesses will fall into that category of having a payroll under 650,000.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to get around 10 grand. So, look, Matt, it all does help. But in terms of the significance of the damage that's been done in the last 6 months, it is a drop in the ocean. It really isn't going to be the difference between a lot of these businesses surviving and not surviving.
It isn't. So that, I mean, that's sad news, because obviously for some businesses it sounds like it's just going to delay the inevitable. What is the feeling generally of businesses now? I mean, the longer it drags on, the harder it gets.
Yeah, certainly the sentiment is really low. Just screaming, people just screaming, please just open us up. Just, you know, we haven't had a case in Albury-Wodonga for over 64 days. A lot of the other regions are the same. Please just get rid of these restrictions. Let us get back to normal trading. That is what will save jobs. That is what will save businesses. So that's the sentiment, Lou. And we are lobbying hard, as are many others, you know, throughout regional Victoria, to the Andrews government, please just loosen all these restrictions.
Yeah, well, hopefully midweek it'll jump to step three, and we're going to talk to you again very soon. Tim Farrow, the regional manager of the Australian Industry Group. Thanks, mate. Thanks for touching base.
Great. Thanks, guys.
And it's back, Australian Crime Stories, 8:30 Wednesday. Adam Shand's Australian Crime Stories, and this episode that kicks off the season, it looks like it's going to be an absolute beauty. Have a listen.
It's a homicide on CCTV.
Three men were seen entering a storage facility. Only two came out alive.
Two ex-cops with murder on their minds.
It takes your breath away.
Investigative crime reporter Adam Shand follows the damning trail of evidence.
Oh, and damning it is.
And he joins us right now, investigative journalist, broadcaster, and author. It's hard to say investigative, isn't it? Adam Shand, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Yeah, great, thank you. Now, you've been investigating a lot lately, and this one that's happening Wednesday at 8:30, Roger Rogerson, it just looks, well, it looks scary, to be honest.
Well, it is. I mean, this is the first of 10 episodes in Australian Crime Stories. And Roger's story is a cautionary tale. It's a guy who, in the earlier era of New South Wales Police, was given too much power, too much latitude. And it wasn't that he went to the dark side. It turned out he was the darkness. And his career is a testament to ducking and diving, dodging the law. Finally, in that storage shed in Sydney, he finally came to his judgment, I guess. He made the one stupid error that's led to him now being spent the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah, yeah. And I always find ones with dodgy cops and people in power are some of the most frightening.
Yes.
Because they're the people who are meant to be keeping you safe.
Well, these two were both basically disgraced. Glenn McNamara.
That's right.
And Roger Rogerson.
Yeah, but he was dodgy through his whole career, wasn't he, Roger?
He was one of New South Wales' most decorated, in fact, the most decorated police officer. He was... The public back in the 60s and 70s didn't mind how the job got done, as long as it did get done. Law and order was a massive thing, so they had massive, massive latitude. You know, but I think what comes through in this story is how cunning he was, and the knowledge of police method, and his understanding of the fact that CCTV cameras, they cycle every 10 days or 2 weeks. So while it looked a really stupid thing to do, to be shooting this guy in a storage unit, taking the body out, putting it in the car, all under CCTV... they thought they'd get away with it. It was just fantastic police work by Russell Oxford, who was the homicide squad detective who went after Roger, who incidentally used to idolise Roger. So there's a great sort of arc there as well of how the understudy took out the master, as it were.
Yeah, scary stuff. Everyone knows you get a can of spray paint and just spray it over the CCTV camera. Come on.
Well, they didn't even bother doing that. They just knew it'd be 10 days, it'd be gone.
Yeah,
but
crazy.
Because there was a tip-off about a drug deal going on near that place, coincidentally, there was some police surveillance going on, And whose car did they see on that morning? Roger Rogerson. They've gone, hello, Roger's involved. Mm. This has gone up another league.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Now, it's season four of Australian Crime Stories, and you've got 10 episodes this season?
All crackers.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. And well, what's your favourite out of the 10?
That's like choosing a favourite child. No, listen, I mean, there's a couple that I really lived for a number of years that began as podcasts on Podcast One Australia, where I'm the crime editor. One was the Jonathan Dix story, where a man kills his brother with a sword in a suburban car.
Yes, I remember that. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, disappears 18 months or a year later, comes out and tries to kill his best friend, doesn't succeed there. 2.5 year pursuit, which ends with his best friend having to catch him. DIY justice.
That's right. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
I remember talking to you about the podcast.
Correct. And it's not there now in plain sight, on the website right now.
Yeah.
Understated in plain sight. But it's an extraordinary story. And the other one, Lawyer X, which is such a profound undermining of our justice system in Victoria and sends a message to us across the country about ways and means. We've always got to think about the end result and the means we use. And this was just diabolical.
That is Australian Crime Stories. We're going to enjoy those episodes and be aghast at some of the things that we'll learn as well on Channel 9, of course, and 9now.com.au. Adam Shand, always an absolute pleasure. Thanks, mate. The new season kicks off 8:30 on Wednesday. Thank you.
Yes, mate. And, you know, Albury being one of my favourite towns, I may yet to get to see it again.
Oh, yes, let's hope. Yes. Let's hope it's sooner rather than later. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. Thank you. Thank you.
Think back a few weeks now to the extended border zone, the time period when they brought in the new permits. There was a lot of talk about a daily life provision on the permit, but that didn't happen because Victoria has restrictions, of course. But with regional Vic potentially moving to the third step to COVID normal midweek, and therefore no restrictions on the reasons for leaving home in northeast Victoria, what will that mean for the permit?
Let's find out. Member for Albury, Justin Clancy, has been fighting the good fight to get border life to as back to normal as possible. And he joins us right now. Morning, Justin.
G'day, Matt. G'day, Lou.
So, Justin, if all these things happen and all the ducks are in a row, and as Daniel Andrews said, we skip forward another step on the COVID road to recovery and get to, step three. Will that then make a difference to our permits and bring daily life into play?
It'd certainly make a pretty strong case for it, Lou. So we're back up in Sydney this week, and we're, you know, we want to make sure that they know that up there, and saying, guys, you've said all the way along that you want to be consistent with Victorian lockdowns in regional areas, lifting it in Victoria. So let's start looking at it for the border. So we want to get people back across to to visit family and to be able to get to our restaurants and pubs and clubs.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of confusion. I'm part of a few different groups on Facebook, and people are still genuinely confused, as I am really, on the viability of going, say, to Bellbridge, for example, to have a bit of a walk around. So I haven't done it personally myself, and I know a lot of people have held off from crossing at all.
Yeah, look, to your point, Matt, and look, I suppose the important thing too there is we still want to restrict movement. You know, we don't need to be big part of COVID is just trying to minimise your movements where you can. So at this stage, still just travelling for those main reasons: employment, education, necessary goods and services.
Okay. Well, Justin, we look forward to finding out more info as it comes to hand. We'll talk to you again soon.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Take care.